small intimate crowd. And I'm really grateful to have Michal here today. It's a really big zchus. She is a wonderful, world-renowned speaker. And not only do we love Michal, we love her children. Her son Shmuel comes to help Chaimer with homework, and her kids have babysat for us. And it's really a zchus. I feel like an extended family relationship, but we're really blessed to have you here today. And all the brachos and everything that everybody does today, this week, always, but should be an Aliyah Neshama for my father, Chaya Meir Ben Dov HaKohen. And I also just want to publicly thank my mother for being my rock in life and just making us normal and being strong through everything. And 20 years is a long time, but it's also very short. And my Mi'ira the other day asked me, she was like playing a game with her friend, and she said, if we could go back in time, where would you want to be? And I don't know, I guess maybe I'm pregnant, I'm more emotional, but I started crying. I said, I just want to see, yeah, my mom's nodding. Yes, okay. Very emotional. But I said, I just want to sit on my father's lap again. It is a long time, but it is a short time. And I just want to thank you for always being strong for us, because that really got us through everything. And thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you, Michal. Looking forward.
Okay, so Jen and I are in sync in terms of her first part of her introduction, because I was thinking, what should I say? I mean, and what I was going to say is I feel like we're related a little bit, because Jen is best friends with my sister-in-law. I'm related to my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law is like a sister to Jen. My kids are growing up with her kids. They run Tisha B'Av camps. They babysit. They do tutoring. They spend Shabbos afternoon together, Shabbos. So I really feel like it's a big schos for me to be here. I'm Lilui Nishmas, your father. Today's share is dedicated to Lilui Nishmas Chaim Meir Ben Dov HaKohen Zichrono Levracha on the occasion of his 20th Yahrzeit, which is on Hey Adar. So it's a real schos for me. Thank you for organizing and bringing me here to speak. I want to start. We're going to take a little journey. The Torah begins counting the months in Nisan. We're going to take a little journey through Shvat, Adar, Nisan. Okay? Shvat and Adar end the year, and Nisan begins the year. I'm actually going to quote from, don't laugh, Mishpacha. If you've ever learned with me or been, also I feel like we're related a little because Malki's here. Malki's been learning with me for years, and Malki's related to Jana, so everyone's connected, Baruch Hashem. Torah brings everyone together. So if you listen to some of my Shirim on 9, I often quote from Mishpacha. You'll know that on Mishpacha, I have my brother and sister-in-law to thank for giving me the best housewarming gift ever, which was a subscription to Mishpacha. And not only do I, it's my own Oneg Shabbos, but I really learn a lot from it. So don't laugh. To Bishvat, I read through the regular one and the family first, so then I picked up the kids one, which I don't really read, although some people apparently read the kids one first. It's the pits. It's from the kids' Mishpacha. I tear things out. I never saw this before. And like I said, we're going to be starting in Shvat. We're going to talk about Adar, and we're going to talk about Nisan a little bit. Shvat passed. Adar is here. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's the last day, of course, of the previous month. Tomorrow begins a new month, but we can't. It's a Rosh Chodesh. We generally think of the Shivas Haminim as one big fruit basket. Actually, since wheat and barley are types of grain, only 5 of the 7 special species of Eretz Yisrael are fruit. Olive, Zeit Shemen, dates, which is known as Devash, but Rashi tells us Devash Tmarim, Shivas Haminim are in a Pasuk, in Devarim Perachas, Pasuchas, Eretz Chita Usaora, Vegefen Uteina Verimon, Eretz Zeit Shemen U Devash. So we have olives, we have dates, we have grapes, figs, and pomegranate. Think about those fruits for a moment. Are they similar? Not at all, especially when you consider their pits. Okay, so we have olives, dates, think, grapes, figs, pomegranate. Think about their pits. Think about the olive first. It has a bitter pit, which you want to spit right out. On the other hand, the date pit is sweeter. You might keep it in your mouth before spitting it out. Then there are pits that you actually eat. The grape pits are teeny. Even if you buy grapes which have seeds by mistake, you can eat them. Nothing's going to happen. They're teeny. They're easy to swallow. Not a big deal. You don't notice so much the pits of the grape. The fig, the pits are actually part of the fruit. You eat the outside of the fig, and the seeds make up the fruit. And when it comes to pomegranate, the pit is the fruit. There isn't anything else to eat in the pomegranate besides for the pits, the famous seeds. By the way, this is a quoting from Rabbi Mordechai Kolatsky. I'm quoting from Mishpacha Jr. the week of
Kolatsky's son. He's in Minnesota. He's a wonderful guy.
He's where?
Minnesota. He's a rabbi in Minnesota.
Oh, thank you very much. Rabbi Mordechai Kolatsky. Okay. Many Mefarshim explain, I never heard this in my life. I give a Tu B'Shvat Shir every year, Baruch Hashem. Many Mefarshim explain that the pits of the Shivas Haminim are a message for life. Sometimes things are tough. Sometimes, in fact, life is the pits. But what kind of pit? How do you define your life? The olive represents the least mature perspective on life's challenges. Ooh, you spit it out right away. This is terrible. My life is the pit. Get rid of it. Who wants this? The pit is bitter or terrible. You want to get rid of it as fast as possible. Who wants the pits? You look at the Baal Bais, you say, what did you feed me? The metaphor being, you look at God and you say, what are you doing? Ugh, fat, get it out of my mouth. Growing up, you start comparing your challenges to date pits. You still spit them out, but you begin to realize we have grown from our past struggles. You might resist the challenge, but it's a little bit sweeter because you realize that your challenges help you become greater people. It doesn't mean you want the pit, but if I have to have it, I learned that it's not as bitter as time goes on. And this is something that speaks to me in such a profound and very, very strong and very personal way. And he's not only speaking to me, and I'm sure it speaks to everybody here. It's not that you want the pits, but you change your life perspective. You begin to see everything as the olive, the challenges in life. They're hard, they're the pits, they're horrible. You spit them, and then you become a little bit more mature, and you realize the date. And it's even interesting, because the date is known in the Torah as devash. You squeeze it to extract the sweetness. In other words, when life squeezes you and the sweetness comes out, you realize, you know, you could tolerate the pit a little bit more. Later on, you maintain the grape mentality. The pits are part of life. We can swallow them. Little annoyances crop up. Bigger challenges. We learn that we have to go with it. We have to ride the waves, even though things aren't so easy. You learn to swallow the pits. As we get older and even more mature, we become like the fig. The pit is part of the fruit. We understand the value that results from our struggles. In the fig, you eat the outside and the inside. We might not like them, but we understand them. We might even come to welcome the pits of the fig because we internalize that our struggles make us who we are. And the highest level of all is the rimon, the pomegranate. It comes from knowing the challenges are not something to spit out. They're the purpose of the fruit, and challenges are the purpose of life. If you look at the life of Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayechi, Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Yitzrayim Shvas Reishana. What do we know about the 17 years that Yaakov lived in Egypt? Nothing. Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, you know so much about Yaakov's life. What am I saying? Toldos, from before he's even born. You already know what's going on in the womb. You know so much about his life. It's a life replete with struggle. He even says that when he sends the brothers down, he says, V'kel shakai yitein lecham rachamim b'fnei ha'ish. He says, Mekel Shakai, Shin and Dal Den Yud, grant you mercy before the man, and you should send forth your brother Shimon, and he should release Binyamin. You should release Shimon, and you should bring back Binyamin. And Rashi says, why does Hashem, why does Yaakov say Kel Shakai, the name of Shin and Dal Den Yud, when he gives his sons a blessing? Because Rashi says, Misha Omer Daila Olam, Yomer Daila Tsarotai. Me, the one who said enough to the world, God said when he finished creating, it's enough, stop creating. Should say, Daila Tsarosai, enough to my trouble. Shalosha Katati Minurai, I've not acquired since my youth. Tsaras Esav, Tsaras Lavan, Tsaras Rachel, Tsaras Dina, Tsaras Yosef, Tsaras Shimon, Tsaras Binyamin. It's one tsar after another. But the tsaros are all enumerated in such great detail. We know more about Yaakov and his tsaros than any of the other avos. And then when he comes to dwell in Egypt for 17 years in tranquility, finally is peace and quiet. What does the Torah narrate? Nothing. Because Nevuah Shehutzu Chaladoros is Nechteva, V'sheinu Hutzu Chaladoros is not Nechteva. Because what do you learn from the quiet times in life? They might be peace and quiet, but what do you learn from them? Not a whole lot. What do we learn from the tsaros of Yaakov? That we have to ingest. It's just the reality of life. The pits, and that's the highest level of all, the pomegranate. The challenges are not something to spit out or even to swallow. They are the purpose of life. Man was born to toil. We're alive to struggle and to succeed. We're alive to battle, Jonathan, to mother so beautifully, and to overcome. And no one could relate to anyone else's sorrows, and nobody could judge anyone else's pits. But we all through the same process. And we know when we're in the pits, we sometimes find our greatest and our best selves. I asked Janet to email me a little bit about her father. I find it a challenge, and I'm giving a yahrzeit shiur, and I asked the hostess to email me something. It's almost unfair. But on the other hand, I want to share something. Janet emailed me the following. When my father was diagnosed with cancer, his first response was Gamzu Latova. He did not even know at that point what the prognosis would be. My mother heard him say it immediately after being told that he was sick. His name really exemplified, Janet said, who he was. Chaya means life, and Meir means light. He was a life full of light. Mm-hmm. He walked into a room full of people, and only then the party began. He lit up a room. Chaim is life, and Meir is light. He knew how to have a good time, and he knew how to make people happy, which is the mita, of course, of Adar. My father, Zichron al Levracha, could have a conversation with a young child or an old man, a secular Jew or a Haredi, and each person loved him by the end of that interaction. He had the ability to connect with every person, no matter their differences. He found a way that they were the same, and through that he connected. When he was under treatment in the hospital, he would go visit other Jews to cheer them up. He himself was the patient. He always appreciated life, and he saw the good in everything, which is reflected in the first statement that he made, Zichron Levracha, upon his diagnosis, Gamzu Latova. My father saw the good in everything. We never thought he would pass away. Not only because he had a better positive prognosis, because he never showed fear or pain. He was always strong. May his neshama have an aliyah. May we see Mashiach very, very soon.
Amen.
When we say Gamzu Latova, which is the first statement that your husband, Zichron Levracha, made, Gamzu Latova. It's not just a statement, it's not just a phrase. The Gemara tells us about Nachum Ish Gamzu, a Masachas Tainis, Chav Aleph Amad Aleph, Tainis 21a. Why, the Gemara says, was Rabbi Nachum called Nachum Ish Gamzu? It was Rabbi Nachum, so the Gemara says, why was he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? Nachum, the man of always, Ish, the man of Gamzu, this too is good. Because whatever happened to him, he would say Gamzu Latova. And the Gemara tells the following story. Rabbi Nachum was once sent to Rome to try to persuade the Roman emperor to be more kind to the Jews. We are all familiar, Rachman al-Tzan, with persecution that is a result of exile. And Rabbi Nachum was carrying a box filled with gold and diamonds for the emperor to appease the emperor. Shem can't be bribed, but Basar Vadam can certainly be bribed. On the way, he stopped at an inn where he stayed for the night. The following morning, he continued on his journey. This is the Gemara. It's not a fairy tale, Chas v'Shalom. He did not know that the innkeeper stole the gems from the box. Instead of carrying diamonds and gems and gold and silver to the emperor, Rabbi Nachum was carrying soil and dirt. He was going to get appeasement for the Jews. When Rabbi Nachum reached Rome, he gained entry to the emperor, and he handed the emperor the box. The Jews send you a gift. On opening the box, it was found to contain nothing but dirt. The emperor was filled with rage. He thought the Jews were mocking him. Nachum was thrown into prison. He was certain death awaited him. He was not dismayed, and he said his usual, Gamzu Latova. This too is for the good. It takes a certain perspective, a very special person, a very high madriga, to see a disaster from a Rachman al-Tzan terrible diagnosis, to a box filled with dirt, to be able, you know, I could say Gamzu Latova if they have apricot hamantash instead of strawberry and the kids want strawberry. Okay, so I'm not in such a high madriga, you know, like, okay. I could say Gamzu Latova if I can't find a parking spot right away, but we're not talking about such things. We're talking about a different madriga. At his trial, Eliyahu HaNavi appeared as one of the emperor's advisors and said, certainly the Jews were not mocking the emperor. What did he suggest? He suggested that perhaps this is no ordinary dirt. He heard the advisor said that when the patriarch Abraham, the first Jew, went to battle in the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings, which was Perek Yudalet of Bereishis, the famous First World War, Avram Avinu goes to war, Lot is captured. So Eliyahu says he heard that this patriarch, Abraham, threw sand and soil at the enemy. It was special dirt. God turned it into arrows, into deadly weapons, and Abraham won the war. Maybe, said the advisor, who was Eliyahu Navi, this dirt was the dirt of Abraham the patriarch. Now, the emperor had been at war for some time, and the Gemara says there was a certain province that he could not defeat. So he ordered that the sand and the soil should be used against this province. A miracle happened, and the enemy was defeated. Nachum Ish Gamzu was freed from prison. He was given many gifts. He was given the petition of the Jews, and it was granted. And again, I'm not telling you a fairy tale. Maseches Tainis Chof Aleph Amar Aleph. There is a very high madrigal where a person is able to look at everything that happens, even if in the immediate moment it seems to be a terrible disaster, and understand that it fulfills some master plan. Sometimes you understand the master plan, like Nachum Ish Gamzu. And sometimes we do not understand the master plan. It does not diminish a great person's ability to say Gamzu L'tova. It's very, very interesting. In Kapitel Lamed Dalet of Tehillim, it's something that I've spoken about before, but I think that it's very impactful. You all know these words are very famous. David HaMelech says, Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim, ohev yamim liraos tov. Who is the man, ha'chafetz chayim, who desires life, ohev yamim, who loves days, liraos tov, to see God. And the next pasuk tells us, everybody knows this. Mitzar l'shon chameira. You should guard your tongue from bad. Usvasecha medaber mirma. And your lips from deceit. Sur meira. And if you guard your tongue and your lips from bad and deceit, sur meira, you'll stay away from bad. Asei tov, you'll do good. Bakei shalom v'rofehu. So there is a potion given for life. And the magic potion given for life is to be a person who guards their tongue. Misha chafetz chayim, which is how... Avisal Meir Cohen Kagan Zatzal of Radin became known as the Chafetz Chaim. That wasn't his name. Based on this pasuk from Kapitel Amidal and Tehillim. But it occurred to me a number of years ago. I think we could say we need to punctuate these two psukim very, very differently. Listen again. First pasuk. Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim ohev yamim lir ostov. Answer. Netzor l'shon chameira usvasecha medaber mirmar sur meira vaseitav bakasher mofehu. I think we need to move the punctuation. The first statement's a question, the second statement's an answer. Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim ohev yamim? ? Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim? Who is the man who desires life? Ohev yamim, who loves days? ? What's the next word? The answer does not begin, I don't think, with Nitzar l'shon chameira, usvasecha medaber mirma. The answer, I think, begins before that. Lir os tov. A person who desires life. It doesn't mean the life I desire is life the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give me. It doesn't mean the years I desire are the years the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give me. But there is a chafetz chayim. There is a simchas chayim. There's a chayim meir who loves life so much that they light up a room. That is a person who is chafetz chayim, who loves days. What's the answer to being that type of person? Lir os tov, that comes first. If you see the good in every situation, certainly you will be Nitzol Lashon Chameir. You have no Lashon Hara talk. You won't have anything negative to say because you see the good in everything and everyone, from the Haredi to the not religious, from this stream to that stream. You're able to connect and have a conversation with everyone because you're always a Lir os tov. That's the secret. That's a Nachum Ish Gamzu. It's the ability to say, okay, so Taka, the box is filled with dirt, and now he's thrown in jail. He didn't say Gamzu Tova because he knew he was going to be saved and Eliyahu Navi was going to appear at the trial. Now, in the moment, this serves some divine purpose, even though I do not understand it. It's Rosh Chodesh, and we just said this pasuk this morning in Halal. Halal is comprised of Kapitach Tehillim, Kuf Yod Gimel through Kuf Yod Ches. And we say, Hodu la Hashem ki tov, ki li olam chasto. We're talking about Ohev Yamim Liros, tov. Because Hashem is the ultimate tov. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki li olam chasto. Give thanks to God for he is good. His kindness is eternal. What is the root word, the root letters of la'olam or olam? It's not a trick. Ayin, lam, and mem. It also means not only world and not only forever. It means something else. Hidden. I didn't hear.
Hidden.
Hidden?
Ne'alam, or hidden. So now let's look at this pasuk again. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov. Give thanks to God because he is good. Ki le'olam chasto. Even when he is hidden from me. Even when I do not understand him. Esther min ha'torah minayin chulin kof lamed tas amabez. The Gemara asks in Maseches Chulin, where is there a reference? The Gemara there asks on that Amud, where is there a reference to Haman? Where is there a reference to Mordechai? Because we don't see them in the Torah. And the Gemara says, where is there a reference to Esther Hamalka in the Torah? Esther min ha'Torah minayin. So the Gemara says, answers a pasuk from, excuse me, Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph. It's Zayin to Yudches, Parshas Vayedech. The Ribbono Shel Olam talks about a concept in the Torah of Hester Panim. Rav Shimshon Pinkus quotes a medrash in one of his Sfarim where he says, the psukim of Hester Panim, the concealment of the divine face, the medrash says were the most difficult psukim for God to write in the Torah. Harder than all the klalos in Bechukosei. The klalos are terrible. Harder than all the klalos in Kisavo. The most difficult two psukim, the medrash says, as quoted by Rav Pinkus, for God to write are, I will surely hide my face on that day. It's as if, Rashi says, as if, Einu ra b'tzaratam. It's as if God does not see. Hester panim, the condition that the Jews found themselves in the time of Haman and Achashverosh, is an allusion to Esther Malka. Why? Esther, Aster, Astir panai. So the Gemara, we can't do this on him, but the Gemara makes a play on words. If you note, the word Esther and the word Astir, Astir, I will hide my face, are the same word. So the Gemara says, where is there a reference to Esther from the Torah? Hester panim. It was a time of concealment of divine face. La'ash milar glabes koyudu minar vadzake. And yet the Jew has the ability to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam, even when we don't understand. Mordechai and Esther didn't give up. They didn't say, okay, throw in the towel, all is finished. If you read the Midrashim and the Mefarshim that deal with the Megillah, they davened, they cried, they gathered all the Jews. They did not give up. They understood that somewhere behind the trisim, somewhere behind the wall, God was always looking. Hodu l'Hashem, you're going to say it again tomorrow in Halal. Thank you, Hashem. I thank you. I give thanks. Ki tov. Everything you do is revealed good. Ki li'olam chasto, and the not revealed good, what I cannot understand, when it's hidden, ne'alam. A Jew declares this too is God's kindness. We begin life immature. We spit out the olive, the pit. It's awful. It's hard. I can't make anything of this. Don't choke. Spit it out. And hopefully we grow to become like the Rimon. Shir b'zichuyos k'rimon. We ask for so many zichuyos that we should learn to ingest, to eat the fruit. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us, Maseches Brachos Samech, Amud Beis, story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu was the man of everything is Gamzu Latova. Rabbi Akiva had a different phrase. Rabbi Akiva's phrase was called the Avad Rachmana, it's Aramaic, Litav Avid. Called the Avad Rachmana, everything the merciful one does, Litav, for Tov, Avid, he does for the good. An Aramaic, slightly different girsa of Gamzu Latova. So it was taught in a brace in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, "La'olam yehei adam ragil lomar." A person must become accustomed to always say, "Called the Aved Rachmana letav Aved." Everything that the merciful one does is for the good. And the Gemara tells us the following story. Rabbi Akiva was once walking on the road. He came to a certain city. Again, this is a Gemara, not a fairy tale. Chas v'sham. He inquired about lodging, and they did not have any lodging in this city. So he said, called the Aved Rachmana Latav. Everything Hashem does is for the good. He went and he had to sleep in the outskirts of the city. There's no room in the inn. He sleeps in a field. He had three things with him, a rooster, a donkey, and a lamp, a candle. A gust of wind came and blew out the candle. Now he's in the dark. A cat came and ate the rooster. A lion came and ate the donkey. So I would say, now I can't see. Why didn't you charge the phone? The flashlight battery just went. Now what am I supposed to do? It's pitch black. And then I would say, oh no, the rooster that laid, that's a rooster lay eggs. The rooster, the only rooster we had in my possession, and now the donkey, and how am I going to travel? And I would be upset at everybody. I would say, this is a disaster, and it's terrible. Look what Hashem just did to me. Rabbi Akiva said, called Avad Rachman Alatav. Whatever Hashem does serves a good purpose. That very night, an army came. Bandits came. An army came and they captured the city. It turned out that had Rabbi Akiva been given lodging in the city, he would have been in the city and he too would have been captured by the bad guys. And the lamp would have given away his position. The crowing rooster and dawn would have told them where he is, and the donkey would have brayed and they would have found him. So he said to his students, didn't I tell you? Kol Masha Osa Kolish Baruch Hu. Hakol Letova. Didn't I tell you that everything God does is for the good? I don't remember where I first read this a very long time ago. It's a mashal. A husband and a wife sat down at their table every morning. And they had breakfast together. And every single morning, the wife looked at her neighbor's wash. And she said, hanging on the line, she said, it's so dirty. She doesn't know how to do the wash. Every morning, the same thing. He had his coffee and his cereal. She had her yogurt and her tea. And every morning. Finally, one morning, the husband couldn't take it anymore. If you know, don't ruin it. Please. Please. Finally, one morning, they sit down. She looks at the other. She says, oh! Her wash on the line is so clean. Someone taught her to do the laundry. Yeah. And the husband looks at the wife and he says, dear, her wash is the same. I washed our windows. Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim. Chafetz chayim. Chayim me'ir. Ohev yamim? Question mark. You know what I'm talking to? I'm talking to myself. I think it's an easy madriga. Again, I'm not talking about the small things in life. Fine, they don't have chocolate icing, buy vanilla icing. Who cares? I'm not talking about those things. To reach a madrigal where things are difficult and things are painful and life gives you the pits, tu bishva, and you're able to say gam zula tova, not knowing the prognosis or the outcome. And sometimes, like in Rabbi Akiva's case, it was revealed that it was for the good. And sometimes in your case, it was not revealed for the good. We can't say it was, I understand, it serves some divine purpose. Esther Hamalka, being taken by Achashverosh, was a disaster by anyone's estimation. Teaching a 6-part in-depth series on Megillas Esther, it's absolutely fascinating. I feel like I'm like teaching high school. I feel like we're all in high school. We all have, me and all the ladies, it's not high school class. Megillah, Navi with Malbim, Rashi, Ben Ezra, Gemara, we're going through each pasuk with the Mefarshim. It's absolutely fascinating. It was a disaster that she was taken. She was married to Mordechai. She was a nice Jewish, basic Yaakov girl. Married to the god of Adar. She's taken against her will by Achashverosh to the palace. She was never allowed to be with Mordechai again. In fact, the Mefarshim say, unbelievable, I just taught it last week, that once the women were with Achashverosh, they were never allowed to be with any other men. They did everything to make sure she would not be called. She didn't ask for perfume. She didn't ask for spices, only what they forced upon her. She was taken by force to the palace of the king. Clearly, we already quoted the Gemara, it was a time of Hester Panim. Hashem's name is never mentioned in the Megillah, indicating that God's face was hidden, so to speak. And Esther faces some confusion. And yet the Megillah is named after her. The Tainis is named after her. The whole story is named after her. She's the heroine. And in the beginning, she's very hesitant. When the order goes out that all the Jews are going to be killed, she does not want to go to the king. Everybody knows that if you go before your time, he's going to kill you. And Mordechai tells her perhaps the most powerful sentences in the whole Megillah. Al tadami binafsheich lihi malei beis hamelech mikol ha-yehudim. You think all the Jews are going to be annihilated and you're going to escape with your life in the palace of the king? Kim hachareish tacharishi ba'eis hazos, revach v'hatzala ya'amod ha-yehudim imakom acher. If you persist in your silence at this time, salvation and deliverance will come to the Jews from another place. V'atu beis avich tovedu. You will be disappear into the mist of history. And then he says, U'mi yodeya im la'e kazod higat l'malchus. This is the moment that your whole life has been preparing you for. Perhaps all of this, being taken from my home, us going into exile, being schlepped to the palace of the king, never allowed to be married to me again. Maybe it's all Gamzula Tova for this moment. You're going to save Knesset Yisrael. Rise to the occasion. This is for the good. What does that mean? Your whole life has been for the good. Every disaster has brought you to this place where you must find your courage, your tenacity, your bravery, your inner kohos to overcome when life gives you the pits. Is it the pits that she was in the palace of the king? Yes. Is it the pits that she had to spend a year in perfumes and oils and the tumah filled, hedonic, prost society? Taken to Achashverosh. Maybe everything that just happened is for this time. Maybe all the bad is leading us to good. You will arise, you will overcome. You will eat the seeds of the pomegranate, you will save the Jews. And so she does. Atilavash Esther Machus. She dons Ruach HaKodesh. She davens. And she goes to the king and she saves the Jews from a situation that is painful, that is difficult, that is bad. Good can come if we but allow ourselves to mature from the olive pit to the pomegranate pit. Doesn't mean you like the Nisayon. It doesn't mean you would have chosen the Nisayon. It means you grow from it. And along with you, your families, along with you, Knesset Yisrael, we enhance the awareness of the Tova of Hashem in this world. Even when Ki Le'olam Chasto, even when He is hidden. How are we doing?
Great. Do you want water?
Pardon?
Do you want water?
Ah, yeah, thank you. I was listening to a shir last week, Rabbi Zev Lef. He said such a beautiful var. It's so funny. Just yesterday, I was cleaning up some of my papers I just brought to show you. I don't know what grade she was in. Dvar Torah Parshas B'Shalach. And she quotes the exact same var. This is from a few years ago. That Rabbi Lef quoted. And I was very taken with the Medrash. And I thought I'd never heard it before. But apparently I did because I even saved it. Okay, so my daughter writes, in this week's Parsha, I told you we're going to talk a little bit about Tu B'Shvat. Shvat, Adar, Nisan. Nisan is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe coming to save the Jews. Parshas B'Shalach is Shvi Yishal Pesach, Priyas Yamsuf. Az Yashir begins with Az. Az Yashir, Perek Tesvav. Chazal say Moshe was doing Teshuvah. He used Az previously in a way he regretted. Since he complained to Hashem with Az, Aleph Zion, he now uses Oz for praise. That's what my daughter wrote. Does anybody remember? It's so funny. I just found this yesterday. I couldn't believe it. Does anybody remember when Moshe, by chance, says Oz? I'll just tell you. At the end of Parakeh, the end of Parshas Shmos, God sends Moshe to Pharaoh. Moshe says, free the Jews. Pharaoh says, you people are all lazy. Make the work worse. Now you're not getting straw. You have to fill the quota bricks. It's a disaster. Why did you send me? And Moshe turns to God and he says, Hashem, lama, listen to what Moshe says, Hare osa la'am hazeh, lama zeh shalachtani. Why did you, Hare osa la'am hazeh? Why did you?
Create.
Do, hare osa, do bad. What did you say?
Nothing.
Reish ayin. Did I say, lama hare ota, lama hare osa la'am hazeh, lama zeh shalachtani. Why did you do bad for these people? That's what Moshe says. Why did you send me? Umei oz. Basi al Paro, Ladaber B'Shemecha. And from the time I came to speak to Paro, in your name, Hare La'amazah, you only did bad for this people. V'hatzeh lo hitzalta, Semecha, you didn't save them. So Moshe's been on the job for a day. Instead of saying Gamzu Latova, when Paro says, let the work get worse, Moshe says, God, why did you send me? You've done bad, it's terrible for your people. Umei Az, Basi al Paro, Ladaber B'Shemecha, Hare La'amazah, v'hatzeh lo hitzalta, Semecha. So the Medrash says, Moshe sinned, he regretted the first Uz, he accused God, And therefore, in order to be mitakein, misakein his sin, he sang Shira with Oz Yashir. Everyone with me? Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Lef said, first of all, if you had to pick a word that Moshe accused God of that was bad, would you say Oz? Listen to the psukim again. Vayashav Moshe el Hashem vayomer. Hashem, lama hare osa la'am hazeh, lama zeh shelachtani. So I could think of words in that pasuk that are pretty accusatory, more than us. Why did you do bad to your people? Hashem doesn't do bad to us. Why did you send me? Umeaz basi al paro, that seems the most innocent part of the whole two sentences. And from when I came to Paro to speak in your name, you did bad for this nation and you didn't save them. He's accusing God of doing bad, of not saving the people, of not keeping his word. So the Aveira in those two psukim is the word Oz? That's so bad? Ume Oz Basi al Paro? The Daber B'Shemecha? You understand the Kasha? What's so bad about saying Oz? So he's going to be misaking. So by Kriyas Yamsuf, he's going to say Oz Yashir Moshe V'Neis Oz Shira Zos. Furthermore, Rabbi Lef pointed out, Oz Yashir Moshe V'Neis Oz Shira Zos is not even Moshe's words. Who says Oz Yashir Moshe V'Neis Oz Shira Zos Lashem V'Yamu Leimor? Who?
Marianne.
Not
Marianne, B'nai Yisrael. No, who Marianne. Says the words? Oz, Yashir, Moshe, V'nai Yisrael, Sashir, Azos, Lashem, V'yamu, Lemer. Not Miriam, that's 15, 20 through 21. Who says those words?
Yeshua.
What?
Yeshua.
The Torah, Hashem, God, he narrates. God says, I'm going to tell you something. Oz, Yashir, Moshe, V'nai Yisrael. It's okay, ain't a Baishon Lumin. I'd rather you try, even if it's not exactly accurate. Just listen. Oz Yashir Moshe V'Nesel Shira Zos Hashem V'Yar Mulei Mar is not Moshe. Moshe's words begin with Ashir El Hashem Ki Goa Ga'a Pasuk Beis Suz V'Rachmar Ma'Vayam. So how's Moshe doing Teshuva with Oz when he didn't even say Oz? And furthermore, how is Oz an accusation? It's bizarre. You understand? Furthermore, I have to tell you one thing before we start to answer. Rashi on Oz Yashir Moshe V'nei Yisrael Shira Hazos says, remembers Rashi? I'm just going to tell you. Mikan remez l'tchiyas ha'mesim min ha'Torah. Here is a remez, an allusion to tchiyas ha'mesim from the Torah. How? Oz Yashir Moshe V'nei Yisrael. Then Moshe V'nei Yisrael will sing Shira. What do you mean, then they will sing Shira? Now they're singing Shira. Tell me right now, Moses is singing Shira, leading the Israelites. Don't tell me then in the future they'll sing Shira. So Rashi says, you could all go look it up. Mikan remez l'tchiyas ha'mesim min ha'Torah. This is an allusion to the fact that there will be the resurrection of the dead in the future with Bias HaMashiach. So how do we understand this whole thing? Rabbi Lef said, what's the sin of Moshe in Oz? Doesn't even make any sense. He said it is. Moshe looked at this one experience. Paro made the work harder. Nirpim atem nirpim. You're being lazy. I'm not giving you straw. Go to the fields to collect. He looked at this one experience. It became harder for the Jews in the narrow lens of time. Right now, it's hard for us. He didn't look at the bigger picture. Ume Oz Basi Apar, from the time I came to Par, meaning right now, time bound. In the moment, it's bad. He didn't look at the bigger picture. If you would look at the bigger picture, you would see it's not bad. It's going to serve a purpose, which will lead to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ume Oz Basi Apar refers to one moment in time, but a Jew cannot look at one moment in time, one event. One singular, isolated event and say, this is bad. Rabbi Lef says, what does it mean everything Hashem does is for the good? And we quoted two Gemaras already, Nachum Ish Gamzu and Rabbi Akiva is Talmud. It means in the grand scheme of history, in the big picture, only Hashem can see this is for the good. Called the Avid Rachman al-Atav, Avid Gamzu Tova means in some bigger picture, this is for the good. But Moshe only looked at the here and now. Oz, now, it's bad. So it's bad. So what was the remez? Oz Yashir Moshe. Moshe sang Shira because he understood that there would be a Tchias HaMesim. He wasn't singing Shira, says Rabbi Lef, because it was good right now on Shvi Shal Pesach. It was good on Shvi Shal Pesach. The Egyptians all drowned. That's good. But Moshe understood he was being misakin. The first Oz was the narrow frame of reference. Right now, this is bad. This diagnosis is bad. This box of soil is bad. The rooster dying is bad. Paro saying no straw, it's bad. Oz, Basi, Al Paro, it's bad. You did bad. The Baal Shalom says that's not how a Jew approaches history or life or the pits. It occurs over time. So when Moshe sang, Shiva said, Rabbi laugh, which is Shvisha, Pesach, ladies, he wasn't saying now in the moment it's good. Yeah, it's good right now. But he was saying, Mikan Remez L'Tchias HaMesim for the Torah. I'm singing Shiva because I understand that every single thing that happens fulfills some destiny that brings us to the end of days. Az Yashir. I'm singing now because we'll sing then. I'm singing now because I understand Oz was an error when I looked at it like this. To be misakein, I have to look at the whole scheme of God's plan. Even if I can't understand it, I understand. But Muna Shalema, Shatiyatchias Amesim, Be'esha Yala Ratzon, Me'esha Baris Baruch Shema. When he told an unbelievable story. Does everyone understand the Oz? Hello? Yes? No? Maybe?
No, I feel like I disagree a little bit with it because at the time when Moshe said that, he was like, as a leader, so compassionate toward the Jewish people. Like, I feel like if he would have said any other thing, I would have seen him as more of like, not empathizing with the people and not like feeling their pain. And that's what I would see when he was crying out to God, like, what did you do?
What?
I see that as him being compassionate.
So there's a way to ask God to change a gezeira that's painful without accusing him of being or doing bad. Shimshon Pinchas speaks about this in his Sha'arim B'Tfilah. Sometimes a Jew wants to argue with Hashem. Chas v'Shalom. I don't understand. It's difficult. I don't need to ask for the gezeira to change by accusing Hashem of doing bad. This is painful for me, it must be painful for you. Please change the gezeirah. But not, lama harei osa la'am hazeh, lama zeh shalachtani, is questioning the Ribbono Shel Olam's entire plan. His defense is not, I love the people, so therefore let's, change this, refa'inu. His defense is, you, Hashem, are doing bad. That's very different than saying, I'm a leader. He is a leader, it's a whole shiur. More than one, she told us. He's a leader who absolutely sticks to the people, always davens for the people. Next week, 2 weeks, Parshas Kitisa. Hashem wants to destroy the whole nation, and Hashem says no. Moshe says no, and Hashem wants to destroy the whole nation. They need water, he davens. By Yam Suf, he davens. He's always davening for them, he's always coming to their defense. But in those two psukim, he accuses, so to speak, the Ribbono Shel Olam of doing bad. That's different.
In Kitisa, it was not the same type of thing.
Pardon me?
In the next parsha, what you just said, I think it's Kisisa, it was not the same thing.
By Cheira Egel? By Cheira Egel, he says, well, Mitzrayim say, why did you take them out? If you destroy them, destroy me from your book. But here he's specifically saying to Hashem, he's one day on the mission. You have no experience. One day you're accusing Hashem of doing bad? Hatzelo Hitzalta? You think Yeshua comes in one day? We've been in Gauls for 2,000 years. He's not saying, I love the people, so let's talk about this. And you, Hashem, love the people. He's accusing Hashem of that. Why? Because, says Rabbi Lef, he only looks at it from the viewpoint of us. Right now it's bad, and not considering that there's a grand picture.
Amen. Miriam, who is a woman, was able to see, I think, a bigger picture.
What?
Miriam, when we discussed the women.
Yes.
They were able to see much earlier than the men. That's why she brought the Tzion
Beings
along.
No, but Rabbi Lef is saying Moshe here was able to see the bigger picture. Moshe was able. That's his tikkun by Oz Yashir. I just want to end with a story. Rabbi Lef told this story in the context of this Oz. It was a shir in Parshas Beshalach. It's funny because this first point was not even the main point of his shir. He said he's getting to the main topic of his shir, but I really thought it was a tremendous... tremendous ha'ara, and then I saw them. My daughter Mamish brought it home. Kriya Sayamsev caused them to sing Shira. Unbelievable. Moshe recognized to a degree everything is Yad Hashem. That's what Tamar wrote. Okay, then he told the following story to talk about this Oz. But when you see it in the moment, it's a sin because we don't see the whole picture. We have to consider that even though we can't see the whole picture, Hashem does. And he told the story. Rabbi Zev Lef told this story. There was a girl who passed away at the age of 19. Her 12-year-old sister was having a very hard time with the patira of her older sister. One night, the 12-year-old had a dream. She saw her sister in Gan Eden. I wouldn't tell such a ma'aseh if I didn't have a very reliable source. Right, Rabbi Zev left told this over, and he's a God of a Torah, and Shema'ez Tamar Chacham Marbitz Torah. One night, the 12-year-old had a dream, and she saw her sister in Gan Eden in white robes. And she said to her sister, "Why did you leave us so young? Why did you die?" Her sister said, "Let me tell you a story. I was a very young child when the Holocaust broke out. To save me, my parents gave me to Gentile farmers. They raised me as their own. I did not know I was a Jew. I was raised as a Goya. When I was older, I started to question. I realized something was wrong. I looked for my roots. I discovered I was a Jew. And I returned to a Jewish life. I lived a full life. I married a Jew. We had children. I died in my 70s. I came to Gan Eden. I would ascend from level to level in Gan Eden, and I was always able to enter different rooms and benefit from the eternal pleasure here. I came to one door, and it would not open for me. And I said to the Malach, how do I get into that room? And he said, you can't. You lived and were raised as a Goya for 19 years. You can't go in to benefit from the eternal Tov in this room. So I said to the Malach, is there anything I can do to enter this room? The Malach said, yes, there's one thing you can do to be Misak, and your neshama can go back down. You can live with a Jewish observant family for 19 years as a tikkun for your neshama. Then you will be taken back. You will come and enter. And so I did, she said to her sister, and so I chose. And that's why I had to leave you at the age of 19. Rabbi Lev said, there's so much we don't understand. We look at the narrow frame of right now, and we think, Umeaz Basi al Paula Dabar Bishamecha, Hare Alamaza. But if only we could remember there is a bigger picture that we can't see, Mikan Ramazat Chias Hamesu from the Torah, we wouldn't say it's bad. We would say everything Hashem does is for the good, because I remember and I consider that Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, called the Avad Rahman al Tav Avad. Gam Zulatova, which you said was the first thing your father said upon being diagnosed, even though in my lifetime I may not understand how this is good. Oz Yashir Moshe. I know that there is a future. I know there's a Mashiach. I know there's a Tchias HaMesim. I know that this painful event somehow fulfills a divine plan. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam knew that that neshama needed a 19-year-old tikkun. It seems taken so young from us. But it is so young when it's taken from us. In some ways fulfills a master plan that we cannot understand, that we do not see. But we mature and we grow. And we grow from spitting out the pits to eating the pomegranate. Today's shir is dedicated as an Aliyah Neshama for Chaim Meir Ben Dov HaKoyin Zichron Levracha on the occasion of his 20th year at Sait Hey Adar. May the Neshama have an eternal Aliyah and Amen. Access to all the eternal good Amen. In the Olam HaEmes. Amen V'Amen. Thank you.